because I kept my mouth shut pretty much on Sunday when that evil fake president announced that it was Transgender Visibility Day, Day of Visibility. So tonight, it's Church Day of Visibility. Hallelujah. You got too many cowards in the pulpit that won't tell the people what's going on. And all of a sudden, everything just, we're supposed to be all inclusive. We're just supposed to allow everything. Love on everybody. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Let me get a verse in here before I start to take off. Philippians chapter 2. Are you there? It says in verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, the daughters of God, without rebuke, right smack dab in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Look at your neighbor and say, you shining? I heard another wicked president say that, what is this? Hallelujah. So, let me get over here. I'll really get ranting. A president in the past said elections have consequences. Remember that statement? Well, guess what? Corruption has consequences. Come on. Are you following this? So right in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, as much as I love America, as much as I love Kentucky, this nation, the leadership, so-called leadership, is trying to take this nation, one nation under God, into this crooked and perverse state, and we ain't gonna let it. It's the Church of the Living God that has to turn this back, not electing some politician. Thank God that we got some politicians now on the rise that are Christians. And not only are they Christian just when it's election time, but they'll stand up all the way through it. Are you ready for me tonight? Because I got some stuff on me that I gotta vent because if you don't hear it from the pulpit, then you're left to just kind of make decisions on your own, and you know, the enemy will just try to tell you that you ain't walking in love. Now, right here, it says that we are to shine as lights in the world in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Right? So, all of a sudden, we're supposed to get along with everybody. That somehow, you know, we got to learn to respect everybody's belief. And that we're supposed to accept it, that that's what they choose, and so on and so forth. Especially in this arena of transgenderism, that they're trying to stuff down our children's throats. Come on now. That all of a sudden, they're trying to teach in school to our kids without parental consent that a child doesn't really know what they are, that they are, you know, could be a female in that biological male body or vice versa. See? Let me tell you how we knew back when I was a kid. whether you were a male or female. Put up on the screen that Huffy bike. Put up on that screen that Huffy bike. You see that Huffy bike? I had one of them, and it was red, right? I got it for Christmas. My mom surprised me, and I was a little fella. Now, you see that big bar in the middle there that goes right underneath the handlebars, right underneath the seat? You see that bar right there? That's how you knew that was a bike for a male. My sisters had bikes, and it went down like this, right? And as a young boy, that my feet barely reached the pedals, I found out that when my foot slipped, that I was a boy. That bar let me know I was a boy. Well, no doubt about it. You ladies don't know nothing what I'm talking about. But the guys all said, yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Huffy. There's a reason that thing was called Huffy. Right? But see, they're trying to get us, listen, they're trying to get us to accept this equality, that everything should be equal. No, it's not. No, no, no. God created male and female. Plain and simple. And so, you know, you got all this transgenderism. And isn't it interesting that you see males that want to be a female, and then they were losers in male sports, but they get into female sports, and all of a sudden they're a champion. Right? Now follow this now. You don't see vice versa. Oh, they brought out that girl to kick a field goal a couple years ago. You know, they threw that all over the news like, look at here, you know. Now, hang on, girls. I'm going to help you tonight. Ladies. So this mental disorder that these people are walking in, we're supposed to accept that it's right. Now, watch. I had Debbie Taylor on the radio here a few weeks back, and she was very candid about when she was anorexic, right? And you know, I learned a lot from her, because that's one thing I never was involved in. And she let me know that anorexic people and herself, they look in a mirror and they think they're fat, so on and so forth, right? Okay. So, are we going to accept people that are anorexic? Are we going to look at them and say, hey, you're fat? I mean, if they're identifying as fat, let me get this out tonight. If they're identifying as fat, then we should just say, hey, yeah, that's right. You're 5'10" and 85 pounds, you're fat. I mean, they're identifying that they're fat. They have the right to identify. See how foolish that is? No, they need help. They got a mental disorder. And so if we just sit here with a male saying they're a female saying they're a male, and we're just saying, hey, okay, you're a female now? No, no, no. No, get on the Huffy. Folks, if you don't realize what's going on, we're laughing at that if you're 30 and older. But there's a whole generation that are being taught that it's okay. Right? And I'm not saying that we don't help these people, right? But you can't help somebody. That's like an alcoholic. You can't help an alcoholic as long as they keep saying, I don't have a drinking problem. And you can't help an alcoholic as long as they think it's some disease that they inherited and there's nothing that can be done about it. Somebody's got to tell them the truth. Somebody's got to fess up, right? So there's this whole thing out there about trying to bring equality among the sexes. All right, Caitlin Clark. How many of you know who Caitlin Clark is? Caitlin Clark is a women's basketball phenomenon. She is just something else on the basketball court. And I've seen a couple of her games, and she is sensational out on the court. She's doing things that most gals have never even thought of. And, you know, now they're promoting her as if she is this superstar above, hang with me, ladies, hear me out, above and beyond, for instance, supposedly she just broke Pete Maravich's record of scoring. And so she goes down in the record books as the leading NCAA college scorer ever. But there's things that need to be addressed here. Now follow this. I think she's a great basketball star, so on and so forth. But see, the media and the public are using this to get to children, to get to people's minds, to make equality look right. For instance, Pete Maravich only played 3 seasons. She played 4. Pete Maravich didn't have a 3-point line. She had. And so Pete Maravich was doubled and triple teamed, and he didn't have star players on his team like she does. Oh, I can go right down the list. Now watch this. But she's playing against women. And don't get mad, ladies. She's playing against wisdom. Again, yeah. She's playing. Now listen to this. She's playing against women. Now, here you might not like this, ladies, but listen up. There is a 13% gap between men and women statistically. Men are 13% stronger, 13% faster, 13% taller, on, right? So where Caitlin Clark is a superstar in college women's basketball, when you take the statistics of what women have accomplished compared to men, it's not even close. Now, I'm going to show you something up on the screen, statistics between men and women. Put that up on the screen, please. Oh, you can't read that, can you? Can you? Well, I can't read it. All right, what it's saying is it's the world's best woman versus boys under 18. These are world champion women versus under 18-year-old boys. Now watch this. In the 100 meters, the best women's result is 10.71. Boys under 18, 10.15, and 124 of them have done that. Now we're not even talking on the college level. But this is in the world, women. Are you following this? Okay, underneath that, 200 meters, 21.77. Boys under 18, they're running it and 2051, and 182 of them done that. And the list goes on and on and on. So what you got is you got women that are globally being recognized as champions. You got high school boys that beat what they are famous for. What's that tell me? I'll tell you what it tells me. You take the number one high school team in the nation right now, basketball, men's, boys, and let them play Caitlin Clark's team. I'll sit in the stands and watch those boys beat those girls. They're faster. They're stronger. They ain't no one on them girls dunking. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not bashing the women, right? Because Caitlin Clark, in her category, she's styling. But when they start saying she's a Steph Curry, that she could play in the NBA and do all that, yeah, whoa, 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 whoa. Every time she goes up for a shot, they're going to block her. She's out of her league. Are you? But they're trying to get us to swallow this kind of stuff down. Follow this, and again, ladies, this is not bashing you. There are things that you all can do that men can't do, right? Like give birth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what they're trying to do, see, they're taking a young lady that's definitely a sports star, and now they're trying to use that to equalize men and women. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. But what they're doing is speculating. She ain't never going to be playing in the NBA. It'd be a joke. Are you following this? But yet they want to project that she could. Are you following? And so it's creating an atmosphere for our kids to be. They hear that and they think, look at that. She did this. She outdid Pete Maravich. No, she did not. Pete Maravich, if you look at the teams he had to play against, like UK, Dan Issel and all of them, right? He scored 63 points against UK and lost. Hello, are you following this? Why? Because it's a whole different arena between men and women. But if those people out there can get to our kids to make them think it's all the same, it's not the same. And so what's being projected is Caitlin Clark beat Pete Maravich's NCAA record. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She didn't play in the same league. It's like you take a heavyweight fighter, Evander Holyfield, and put him against some little flyweight. The classes are different. It's not going to work, right? That's why they have different weight sizes and so on and so forth. Y'all stay with me because I'm going to get to y'all here in a minute. But in a crooked and perverse nation, they're trying to get you and I to accept all-inclusive. Now, don't get me wrong. If you came out of that, a homosexual, lesbian lifestyle or so on and so forth, you are no worse than I was as an adulterer, right? Sin's sin. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't think I'm belittling your past. Whom the Son says free is free indeed. And you may have friends that are in that lifestyle and so on and so forth. But all this about all-inclusive, it's not in the book. We're supposed to let our lights shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now, they're trying to flood our calendar with all these queer dates. Put that up there. My hair's growing. Listen to this. They have a Transgender Day of Visibility, Transgender Day of Remembrance, Transgender Awareness Week, Trans Awareness Month, Transparent Day, International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia, Pride Month, LGBTQ History Month, LGBTQ Health Awareness Week, International Day of Pink, Day of Silence for Trans Bullying, Lesbian Visibility Week, Agenda Pride Day, Harvey Milk Day, Pansexual and Paramantic Awareness Day, Stonewall Day, International LGBTQ Plus Day, International Non-Binary People Day, International Drag Day, Bisexual Awareness Week, Celebrate Bisexual Day, International Lesbian Day, National Coming Out Day, Gender Fluid Visibility Week, International Pronoun Day, Spirit Day, Intersex Awareness Day, Intersex Day of Remembrance, and they want to get on our Easter? They want to get on our resurrection? See, did you all know about that? Most folk don't. I mean, that takes up the whole calendar. Do you understand that this is less than 2% of the American population that's demanding this visibility? This is how things creep in. This is how things sneak in. And if the church remains silent, if pastors don't say anything, that, well, you know, we just walk in love, you know, we just gotta accept people as the way they are. Well, the Bible says, what does the Bible say? There's neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Greek. What do you got to say about that, Pastor? Well, you need to understand what it's talking about. It's talking about we're all one in the family. It's not a Jewish sect and a Greek sect of the body of Christ. It's not a male sect and a female sect. We're all one, right? It's not talking about there's neither any of this going on. We identify. Now, see, here's the whole thing. What do you identify as? Now, listen, what happened with the ultrasound and it's a girl and you painting the baby room pink? What happened to that? Come on now, are you following what I'm saying? They're trying to steal what they've already invaded the family as far as husbands and wives are concerned. We got more children being raised without fathers in the house than ever before. Come on now. Hallelujah. Now, they've even said, we're coming after your kids. Publicly. See? And so you and I, we got to wake up. And it says, we're supposed to shine. While all this is going on, we're supposed to shine. And boy, what darkness don't like is light to shine on its darkness. That's why the attack at the voice of God. And that's why, watered down voices draw back in the day of adversity. They won't stand. They won't come out and say what's right and what's wrong. Come on now. Are you following this? Now, here we are in 2024, the year of the priesthood, and got to come out and address stuff like this, right? Why? Because you ain't going to hear it. Kids ain't going to hear it in school, right? Unless they're homeschooled, and mama and daddy will just be straight up, right? They're after our kids. Hitler said, you give me the younger generation, I'll take the nation. And what did they start doing? They started teaching the kids about how they were in the nation that ought to be ruling the world. And the pastors stayed silent. There were Christian churches in Germany, abundance of them, and the pastors said nothing. Nothing. And because the pastors said nothing, they infiltrated the families. Next thing you know, the kids are turning their parents in. And they're being taken to the gas chambers. The kids. Hallelujah. So, we need to understand the difference and what the attempt is out there to expand their wickedness. Ain't gonna happen. Not on my watch. I said, not on my watch. Ain't putting up with it. Hallelujah. They can protest. They can, tell me this is a public facility and we can come into your church and attend your church and say what we want to say. You can come in here, but you ain't going to say what you want to say. I bear not the sword in vain. And we be packing in here. It's a shame that you have to go there. You ready for the word? We're supposed to shine as lights. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. How do we shine lights on this mess that the enemy is trying to get our people to swallow down? I refuse it. I refuse it. I'm going to tell that anorexic person, you're not fat. You're skinny. And you're unhealthy. And there's something wrong that you think you're that way. And I want to help you. See, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Follow this now. We got to understand that all this censorship, all this cancellation of free speech that's going on there. They put another gag order on President Trump. Boy, all that stuff backfired in their face, didn't it? I tell you what, they put that $450 million bond on them, and it got lowered to $175 million, and that demon-possessed attorney general is going to seize Trump Towers, and he sells True Social for $3 billion. Right in the midst of all that going on. Sounds like you're for Trump. 100%. He's not the Savior. But he's sure not against the church. Come on. And so, in Matthew chapter 5, look at this. Matthew chapter 5, I got to get where we're going. Look at this in verse 14. This is Jesus talking. It's read in my Bible. What's it say? So, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Well, wait a minute. Don't the world have light? Got sunlight, moonlight, traffic lights, police lights? Don't ask me how I know. Right? We are a people in this 3D world that lights are a must, right? I mean, you're reading your Bible because we have lights on in here, right? And so lights are something that is necessary in this three-dimensional world. It hasn't always been that there was electricity and light like this, right? It hadn't been that long ago that it was candles. I mean, it hadn't been that long ago. You know, when I was a kid, Mom had the kerosene lamp. I mean, it wasn't just for decoration. A kerosene lamp. We had electricity, but she had kerosene lamp. And she'd shut off all the lights and use those to save electricity. Well, she'd had her house burned down. And Dad moved everything from gas to electric. So everything was electric heat, which was high. When you had a house as big as our house was the second biggest house in the city back in the day because of all the foster children. He built it that big. It looked like a big hotel, you know. It's still big if you go look at that. But the kerosene lamp, I mean, it hadn't been that long ago before that was the main source of light when the sun went down. Come on. But here it says, you are the light of the world. So we have 3D light in the world, but Jesus says that you and I are the light of the world. So there is a light within us that is four-dimensional. It's 4D light. It's time for the church visibility day. Come on now. That's where we're going tonight. I just had to get that rant out, right, to see what they're trying to do out there to extinguish our light. Come on now. You and I are the light of the world. Now, the next verse says this. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Right? Let your light so shine, verse 16, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Okay, we're not walking around with this big floodlight, flashlight, shining a flashlight in people's faces. No, there's a light within us that's supposed to shine so bright that in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, it gets noticed. It gets seen. Now, I'm going to show you something tonight, right? Because the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, right? Searching all the inward parts of the belly. And right here it says when the candle is lit, you're not supposed to hide it. You're supposed to put it up on a candlestick where all that are in the house can see. That's why you can't stay quiet. That's why you just can't tolerate. The more you tolerate, the more that's a silent acceptance of sin. You and I are supposed to be shining bright. We're supposed to be, I ain't talking about you being the fault finder, walking through Kroger looking for somebody that's in sin and getting in their face saying you're a sinner. I'm talking about that there's a light inside of you that shines so bright that it gets noticed. You better hang with me now. Are you with me? Okay. Let's look at this. It says here, I wrote this down. Your good works only is not the light that people see. But moreover, what manner of spirit you perform those good works with. See, you can have an attitude. You can be grouchy and be doing something good. Well, you know, he's hard to be around. She's hard to be around. But they do good stuff. No, what we're supposed to be doing is, even though we did something good, we did it in a spirit that they took notice of beyond the good works. They saw something that was beyond. They saw how you did it, what manner of spirit you did it. Remember when the sons of thunder wanted to call down fire? And Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of, right? You remember that, right? So it's not just doing good works, it's how we do it. What spirit do we do it in? See, now they ought to be giving you a clue of where these lights are, right? Now, go with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to show you your lights. Galatians 5. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Put your eyes on a very familiar verse, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and that capital S should be a small s, because the Holy Spirit does not have to grow and produce fruit. Third person of the Trinity doesn't have to grow in fruit. It's talking about your spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And now these are your spiritual organs of your spirit person. Just like you have liver, heart, lungs, all that. These are your spiritual organs that make up who you are. But these are your lights. You have 9 lights. Don't miss this. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. Remember that? Well, how are you going to know? There's something shining. Something lit up the way they did it, the way you did it. Your love light was shining. Your joy light was shining. Your peace light was shining. On and on and on. See? And so this is how God wants to spread his spirit of himself to others. Certainly preaching is necessary. Right? Somebody got to preach. Right? But the preaching is for the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So once you hear, you're supposed to be growing in your fruit. And as your fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, as that grows, guess what? Your light shines brighter. It's automatic. It's automatic. We went way past your Christian t-shirt and the cross hanging around your neck. Come on now. Not nothing wrong with those things. Are you following what I'm saying? But you can have a Christian T-shirt and a cross hanging around your neck and be the most aggravating person on the planet. No fruit. Is anybody seeing this? Jesus said, we are the light of the world. And the candle, the spirit of man, once it is lit, is supposed to be brought out and put on a candlestick. So people ought to be looking at you. And see, this is the struggle. We got to have this light shining in the midst of a personal storm. Right when we're walking through a battle. Right when somebody just cussed us out. Right when somebody betrayed us. Right when somebody just stole something from us. Come on now, or whatever. Boss just fired you, right? Car just broke, whatever it may be. Are you following this? We don't get a break. Come on now. You know how you've been all aggravated, and all of a sudden somebody called. Hi, how are you? Right? See, we got to get, you know, out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks, right? So what kind of light in this crooked and perverse nation we are to shine as lights? So God wants us to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And as you grow in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, as you grow in these nine particular fruits of your born-again spirit, then you begin to project a light out of you. We're talking about 4D. We're not talking about a physical light that can be seen. We're talking about there's something different about you that the heathen see, or that religious person sees, and then they see how you handle things, even if they know that you're walking through something. They might know your situation, you just got fired from a job, or blah, 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 went through an ugly divorce, or whatever it may be. But yet, there you are, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, letting your light shine, even in difficult times. Come on now, are you following this? Okay, well, let's go a little further here. So let's get over here to 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. Not going to keep you long tonight, I don't think. I got my rant out. Second Corinthians 9. Are you there? Verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Look at your neighbor and say, that doesn't have nothing to do with you. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Look at your other neighbor and say, there you are. Every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now this is Psalms 112, verse 9, where that is written. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. Now watch out. And increase the lights of your righteousness. You following this? This is what increases the fruit. We've already established that the fruit is of your spirit, and we've already established that your spirit is the light that Jesus was talking about. And so there's your righteousness can never increase, but your fruit can. I said your fruit can. How does it increase? when you are participating in the laws of the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. You're a tither, you're an offering giver, you're a missions giver, you're a partner, you're supporting the house of God, on and on and on. And no telling what you all do when you see somebody in need, how you help people and so on and so forth. Me and Mom Alberta, we're nonstop. We're on a nonstop flight with that. And so we're bountiful sowers. I believe I'm talking to bountiful sowers that have a bountiful harvest that's going to be reaped this year. Right? And so what is going on here, because of that, he multiplies your seed sown, and at the same time, he's increasing the light. The fruits of your righteousness. The fruits of your righteousness is your righteous spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Right? Right? So something supernaturally is going on inside of you, preparing you for your bountiful harvest. That's why God will clamp down on your attitude. That's why he'll clamp down on foolish talking. That's why he'll clamp down on thinking goofy. Why? He is perfecting that which concerns you, and he has to get your fruit of your righteousness in a prepared state that can handle this multiplication that's about to come into your life, because prosperity destroys the fool. I've seen believers that didn't prepare for the harvest and got a little something going on, and it just totally took them away from God, took them out of the church, and eventually destroyed the marriage, so on and so forth. See, that's why the Bible says, we looked at this not too long ago, remember the Lord of all message? Under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, though he be Lord of all. What's happening? He's being taught. He's being taught how to handle such great responsibility. Are you following this? All right, so God increases our fruit, if we'll let him. And what he does, see, he gets to our motives. He gets to the thoughts and intents of our heart. That's why you'll say, why did you say it like that? Well, I said it right. Yeah, but how you said it? You could have said it in a better manner. We've all been guilty of this. Don't look at me like, yeah. Right? I mean, how you answered was the right answer as far as yes or no was concerned. It was just how you said it. Yes. No. Well, it was the right answer, but it wasn't out of the right spirit. Folks, don't miss this, because God's watching the spirit of the thing. You following this? You just can't have an attitude. And you know where all this happens? At the house. It's like when we're at home, like we got this free reign, you know, anything goes. No, it don't go. That's why the Bible says a novice is somebody that don't have it right at the house. Come on. You got to have it right at the house. You put on your good hat when you go out the front door. You're treating complete strangers better than you are your spouse, your kids, your parents, whatever. Something ain't right. Now, that's not my message, but you need to see this, right? Because we got to get our lights not to be just a little pin light, but to be floodlights, where the path of the just is as a shining light. See, that takes on a whole new meaning. We've always taken that as, well, God's just going to light up our path. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Well, when your light is shining, connections are made. It brings you to certain people. They'll sit there and say, you know, I had that multimillionaire, he's in heaven now, come in my office and saw me on TV and wanted an appointment with me. And he's sitting there going through his donation spew. And finally he just said, leaned up in the chair, and he said, I'm drawn to you and I don't know why. Light's shining. Light's shining. Come on, people. Now, see, when that light shines, not everybody drawn to you. It can put people on the run. Come on. But that doesn't mean you turn the light off. See, that's that self-inclusive thing. Don't let your light shine so bright. You don't want to be offensive. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. People are going to hell. Come on, somebody got to tell them something. That's wrong. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God, listen to this. God grows us up spiritually to be able to manage our coming physical harvest. God grows us up spiritually to be able to manage our coming physical harvest. Your spiritual maturity is displayed by the fruits of your spirit in your day-to-day faith life actions, and not by your gifts and calling alone. Boy, Pastor Philip, boy, I tell you what, he flows in them gifts, and boy, I tell you what, he's got anointing on. That's not how you evaluate spirituality. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's how maturity is shown. And we've all had people hurt us. We've all had people do us wrong, right? We've all had people picking on our fruit. Picking on you. Seeing if his fruit's really real. Come on now. Adam watched me for 14 years. Is this thing real? I mean, he talking to the other heathen friends of mine. What happened to Philip? He watched for 14 years. See? And what did he see? He didn't see me drawing back on nothing. Matter of fact, he saw me growing. Growing, growing. And finally, you know, you just surrender to that light. And he was forgiven for killing my rooster. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He put this on my keyboard. Hallelujah. Listen, yesterday, took Mama Alberta. I gave the staff off, and I told her, I'll take you wherever you want to go. What you want to do? And she said, I really don't want to go anywhere. Just run me over to TJ Maxx. Okay. So yeah, I told her I'd take her anywhere she want to go. And so me and Petey took Mama Alberta to TJ Maxx, and And we're inside there. And all of a sudden, you know, I got the windows down. There's a cool breeze blowing through. And me and Petey talking, you know. And we just, you know, and we see Deontay and Risha comes walking by. And, you know, just having a good time. And then the sun come out. Well, when the sun come out, I turn the air on. And the air ain't really blowing cold like it's supposed to. I said, well, this ain't right. And so I told Alberta when she came out, I said, I got to take Petey home. He's getting a little hot. And I got to get this fixed before we go to Galleon. Just get some Freon put in. And so I go to the place where we've got things done. And they like me there because I buy them all lunch. And so I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need favor. I need to get in and out. And as soon as they saw me pull up, they said, come on in here. They dropped everything they're doing, get on my vehicle. And so I said, well, check those belts while you're at it. And because I want everything, you know, I got everything nice, right? And they said, sir, these belts are pretty worn. They're probably the original belts from the factory. By the way, I pulled in here tonight, took a picture of it. 44888. Hallelujah. 888 is the number of Jesus, for those of you who don't know. If you take his name, how it is spelled, I-O-S-O-U-S, and you do the numerical value of that, it's 888. That's why we get that. So anyways, yeah. So the belts are bad. They change the belts to get the air going, blah, blah, blah. And then I remembered that Mama Alberta had said that one of the running lights was out. Well, every time I'd have it in park and go see which one it is, you can't tell unless it's in drive. Right? And all of a sudden, I thought of that. And I said, hey, guys, while you're at it, let me put this thing in drive because my wife tells me that one of these lights, running lights, are out. But I can't, I can't, I don't know which one it is because I'm driving. And every time I pull up and she's coming outside, she say, that light's out. Okay, what light are you talking about? And so I put it in drive, you know, held my foot on the brake. And they says, I'm right there. I said, fix that for me. Now, the point being, I thought they'd just take a lens out, put a bulb in. Man, they had to take the truck apart, it seemed like, to get to that bulb. But today, when I was thinking about that, I couldn't see it because I was in drive. It took somebody else to see it, that one of my running lights was out. Are you following this? That's why we need each other. Right? And, you know, husbands and wives, don't get offended at the other one when they're saying, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't be talking like that. We got too much on the line. Come on. And if you've had a light burnout, joy, peace, long-suffering. Come on now. Are you following this? We got to get that. We got to get this running light up. But see, as long as I was in drive, I couldn't see it. Took somebody else to see it. Are you following this? And so, remember when I was talking about self-evaluation? Bring self-justification. Right? Remember that? Some of you. Praise the Lord. So, the moral of the story is the running light. We got to run. And we got to be running fast in these days. And we got to let our lights be shining. We got to let our lights be burning. Now, let's close with this, Luke 16. Luke 16. And let's begin in verse number 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Now, this is Jesus again giving this analogy right here, this or parable, whatever you want to call it, of what is referred to as the unjust steward, when in reality that's not right. What you got here is an unjust rich man. He took what somebody accused his steward of and fired him for it without ever giving him the opportunity to defend himself. Are you following this? All right, I'll show you. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord takes away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, in other words, I can't physically dig, and to beg I'm ashamed. I'm not going to become this cardboard sign holder. I'm resolved what to do. Here's what he concluded, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended. Now notice it says the unjust steward. It should be the accused unjust steward. And the Lord commended the one accused because he had done wisely. Now listen, as this rich man's steward, he was given stewardship to be able to cancel debt, to make profit. He was in charge of the rich man's accounting system. Are you following this? So he's not ripping the rich man off. Matter of fact, the rich man, the Lord commends him. Said, look at here, instead of trying to steal from me, and as long as he's fired, he went ahead and got the books right. He went ahead and finished his job. Follow this. The Lord commended the unjust steward, the one accused, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of what? There's that light again. Right? So we've been letting the world run right past us when it comes to financial integrity. Now watch what happens here. The Lord commended the unjust steward, or the one accused, because he had done wisely. If he had done, you remember when that one individual owed his boss man, if you will, all his money, and he went and pleaded for his family and life, and he forgave him, right? And then he went out and grabbed somebody that owed him just a little bit of nothing, and his true colors were shown, right? And then it got back to the boss, remember? Well, if he didn't get commended wisely, this, he's being commended for doing wisely. In other words, under losing his job, being accused falsely, he is letting the fruit, he is letting his light shine. Because in his mind, all right, he's firing me. But if I let my light shine, somebody going to see it, and it's going to affect them in a positive way. Now watch this next verse. Watch this. I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of righteousness, that of unrighteousness rather, that when you what? He's not talking about that you became a failure. It's talking about when your situation looks like it failed. They may receive you into what? We're talking about eternity here. We're not talking about he going to get another job somewhere. People are watching how he's handling being falsely accused, being fired from his job, not able to defend himself, and how he goes ahead and finishes out his job with integrity. And he says, and he watches, and he says, make yourself friends that when they see you go through something, they don't understand how you could go through that. They don't understand how you kept your love light shining, your joy light shining, your peace light shining, how you could go through all being hit with this, hit with that, lied about here, betrayed there. Come on, and yet you are walking in love, walking in joy, walking in peace. You're letting that light shine. They're watching you, and one day they're going to come up and ask for the hope that's within you, and they're going to receive the light that's in you. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, right? And they're going to receive into everlasting habitations. People are watching you. That doesn't mean you have to go through some big scandal to let your light shine. Are you following this? But it does mean no matter what you and I are confronted with, let your light so shine before men. You are the light of the world. And God is increasing. Let it happen. I know sometimes, you know, no chasing of the Lord seems joyous for the moment, but it yields the peaceable of fruit of righteousness. See? We've all had that moment. You know that moment. What moment? That moment. When you didn't let your light shine. Come on. Conviction. Right? But it's the church's day of visibility. God's going to put us on display, folks. God's going to put us on display. And that's why the Bible says, arise and shine, for the light has come. There'll be gross darkness upon the people, but God's light will rise upon you. Are you following this? Hallelujah. Well, if you need to give an envelope tonight, hold your hand up. The ushers will wait on you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Did you get anything out of that? I got that rant out anyways. Hallelujah.